We will get this meeting started. We will start with the invocation. Heavenly Father, we ask you this day to shine upon us your blessings for a wonderful 2021, that all elected officials from city, states, the country, that they are blessed by you and do the will of the people, that the leadership has shown upon this nation that we will move further with abundance of your love and your blessings. We ask you to please bless the men and women in uniform who serve our country. We ask you to bless the citizens of Savannah, Georgia. And with this leadership, we move in a prosperous, productive society, coming together as one, and show the world what Savannah, Georgia is all about. In your name we pray, amen. Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please be seated. We're going to start today by having a swearing in from our Honorable Judge Bass. We have a new member here in attendance with me today, Mr. Rural Joyner. And we congratulate him being appointed to the MPC Commission. Look forward to his input and his insight and leadership for the commission. Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to ask our new member to raise his right hand. And I will go ahead and repeat the oath, and at the end you'll say, "I will, so help me God." As a member of the Chatham County Savannah Metropolitan Planning Commission, who is vitally interested in building and maintaining a viable community in which to live, work, and play, I hereby resolve to, one, support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America and the Constitution of the State of Georgia, two, uphold the laws of the United States of America and those of the State of Georgia, three, concern myself with the advancement of the public interest in all matters that come before me, four, place the competence and effectiveness of service to the public above all interests of persons, factions, or parties, five, not make available to any one citizen any services, tangible or intangible, that are not equally available under the law to any other citizen, six, abstain from participation and decision of the Planning Commission and or the governing body in which I have a conflict of interest, seven, refuse personal gifts in every instance where I have reason to believe the gift would not have been extended to me except for my official position, where I have reason to believe that the giver's interests are likely to be affected by my official actions, or where the gift is or may reasonably be considered designed to influence my actions. And lastly, conduct myself and my contacts with other persons and groups in a manner keeping the trust and dignity in my position as a servant of the people and my community. I shall further take care to guard not only the factual principles, but also the appearance of justice and dignity. You will, I say, I will, so help me God.
I will, so help me God.
Congratulations.
Good job, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you.
Before we get started, I want to read for staff, petitioners, and members of the public who are participating. Our procedures will be as follows. The agenda is broken down into several parts. First, notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. Next, the consent agenda, which consists of items for which the applicant is in agreement with the staff recommendation, and there are no known objections. This will be followed by regular business, old business, and adjournment. For each agenda item on regular business, the staff will make a presentation. The staff presentation will be followed by a presentation by the petitioner, should they elect to do so. The petitioner will be allowed a timeframe to 10 to 20 minutes. The board may then ask questions of the petitioner or staff for clarification. Afterward, the floor will be open for public comment. If you wish to comment on the item that the board is considering at the time, I ask you, and I'll repeat, raise your hand. Raise your hand on your computer, the little button that's on your screen. Do not use the feature until the item you want to comment on is being considered. At the appropriate time, you will be recognized, and staff will unmute your microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by the chair, your microphone will be muted, and the chair will recognize the next speaker. The total public comment time will be equivalent to the petitioner's presentation time. Therefore, it is important that you use raise your hand feature during the hearing on that item if you want to speak on the petition. Once the floor is closed for public comment on a petition, no additional public speakers will be allowed. If you are not certain you want to speak, still use raise your hand feature on your computer. You will have the option to decline when your name is called. After public comment, the petitioner will have the opportunity for rebuttal and then additional needed questions by the board. Finally, the board will take action. Okay, we'll move to notices, proclamations, and acknowledgments. January 12th, Finance Committee meeting was 11:30. Headed by Eula. The January 12th swearing in of the commission of Mr. Rule Joyner, as you know, has taken place. And on February 2nd, 21, regular MPC meeting will be at 1:30 p.m. Planning Commission. Go to webinar to access the MPC.com. Information items for board members, development plan submitted for review. Items requested to be removed from the agenda, the final agenda. Zoning map amendment 1902 and 1920 Waters Avenue and 1111 East 36th Street. Rezoned from TC1 and TR3 to PD plan development. Rezoning map amendment 8020 Waters Avenue. Rezoned from RSF 10 to OI. Rezoning plan development, Little Neck Road, rezoned from RA to PD. Items requested to be withdrawn, zoning map amendment, 135 Hampstead Avenue, rezoned from RMF to 30 to PD. The consent agenda, approval of the December 15th, 2020 briefing and regular meeting minutes. Number 11, adoption of the 2021 MPC budget. And item 12, authorize executive director to execute funding contract with the Georgia Department of Transportation to conduct SR 307 corridor study. I put that for a vote to approve the consent agenda. Do I hear a motion? Motion made by Rule Joyner, a second?
Second.
And who's this?
Tom Wywoody.
Thank you. Okay, now we'll go into old business. Zoning map amendment 504 and 506 East Montgomery Crossroad.
Mr. Chair.
Sorry. Let's go to a vote. Michael Brown?
Yes.
Tom Woodwoody?
Yes.
Linda Southers?
Yes.
Joseph Irvin?
Yes.
Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Travis Coles?
Yes.
Eula Parker?
Yes.
Wayne Noah? Michael Kegler?
Yes.
Is Wayne not with us? Vote passes. Thank you for reminding me. We go into old business. Item 13, zoning map amendment 504 and 506 East Montgomery Crossroads, rezoned from RSF 6 to OIT. Mr. Holloway is going to take it from here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Many of you will remember this from last meeting. At issue is a request to rezone 0.25 acres at 504 East Montgomery Crossroad and 0.21 acres at 506 East Montgomery Crossroad from the RSF6 zoning classification to the OI-T zoning classification. The parcels here are highlighted in yellow. The subject properties are residentially zoned parcels located along East Montgomery Crossroad, just west of Weiner Drive. You may remember that 23 and 24 Weiner Drive went through this same process and were previously approved. And just some facts about the neighborhood. The Skyline Terrace subdivision was developed as a single family detached residential subdivision with parcels generally between 7,000 and 9,000 square feet in size. Non-residential uses in the area include two contractor offices, which are adjacent to the west of 504 East Montgomery Crossroad. You can see that right here, which were rezoned to B-N during the zoning ordinance update. Also, professional offices, commercial service, and a child care center are present in the area as well. So at the last meeting, there was many points brought up that, on how we should guide the development of these parcels. So staff has come up with some recommendations for everyone to consider. So the staff's recommendation is approval of the requested rezoning from an RSF6 to the OI-T with the following conditions. And I'll bring them up so we can all see them. So the first one would be that the two parcels shall be recombined into a single parcel prior to site development. Second, recommendation is that a 20-foot buffer with 6-foot fence or wall shall be required along the rear and eastern side of the parcel. This shall include 4 large trees, 7 understory trees, and 35 shrubs for every 100 lineal feet of buffer required. And just to pull up the map again, we're talking about this side, and this side over here. The third one would be that access to the site shall be from a single point of entry from East Montgomery Cross Road. Next would be that site lighting shall not exceed 1/2 foot candle at property lines, which are adjacent to residentially zoned parcels. And site lighting shall not exceed 1 foot candle at property lines adjacent to non-residentially zoned parcels. While the ordinance requires site lighting not to exceed a height of 35 feet, staff recommends that any site lighting that is not building mounted shall be from a cutoff light source no greater than 15 feet in height. And finally, we believe that freestanding signs shall be monument signs that are no higher than 8 feet and no greater than 20 square feet of sign area. Be happy to answer any questions.
Yes, is there... this is Michael. Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Is it okay to speak?
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown.
Okay, I strongly commend and Melanie Wilson and staff for this. I think this is a template, not a cookie cutter, because as I said at one of the previous meetings, it's Montgomery Crossroads. We have some on Abercorn, definitely on Waters and Stevenson, where no fault necessarily of the single family residents on the front of these were collectors at one point and then they become arterials. And so if you say you cannot rezone it and you must continue to use it residentially, my observation is there's lots of vacancies and property turnover. I think your site plan requirements are good. I think I might not for necessarily for this one, but I like the idea for the recombinations. But I have a question of staff, is that will these be part of the zoning or the site plan if there's a, let's just say that they fail to maintain the fence were to maintain the vegetative buffer, is the recourse to file a zoning compliance case? Is that the answer?
Yes, that's correct, sir.
Okay. And also, and I think I saw that, so let's say that they decide to rebuild a structure. So then they would have to meet the rules on lot coverage and on the, they'd have to meet the requirements on lot coverage and the design of the structure. So for example, I think I recall us doing this on Montgomery Crossroads near, it's right near the Reamer Lane Insurance. It's on Waters, almost to Montgomery Crossroads. And yet one of the structures that was rebuilt was a flat roof structure. So what you're saying is in the future, they'd have to replicate a residential building with a slope roof. Is that what you're saying?
We can put that in there. Nothing here makes mention of that. If it were to be rezoned to the OI-T, there aren't any standards that would require that. However, if that's something that you think that we should add to this, we can certainly do that.
Well, then I would propose that we add an additional number that would say any, what would the term be? If in the event that the current structure is demolished and a new structure constructed, then the buildings would have to be architecturally similar to the residential neighborhood.
And also, can we add that it must meet the current ordinance?
Yes, I should have said that too.
That's no problem. Thank we you. Can do that.
Thank you.
Is the petitioner here that wishes to speak on this?
No, he is not.
No, there are not. Okay. Is there anybody out there in the audience that wishes to speak on this? Raise your hand button on your computer. Nobody? Okay. Is there any more questions from the commissioners on this item?
This is Linda Southers. I have a question of staff. When you refer to the 6-foot fence / wall, is that going to be an impervious fence? Could it, or is it okay to build a chain link fence? Shouldn't it be a solid fence?
Yes, that fence will have to be opaque. So you won't be able to see through it, and chain link would not be allowed.
Should that be added to the recommendations?
I can add that wording in, certainly.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
It's Michael Brown again. I'd like to also add one more thing, is that since these are small lots, I would propose that the refuse collection at the sites be based on residential collection. So in other words, you can't have a dumpster, you have to have a residential, and there's nothing to stop from having three of them, but you don't need to have dumpster pickup.
I agree. That's a good point.
Karen Jarrett here.
Yes, ma'am.
I have some concerns. Our applicant is not in attendance.
No, ma'am.
This is the third time that we have heard this. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
And the first time there was a conflict with the city commission meeting, the city council meeting. But since then, the applicant has not bothered to show up.
They were present at the last meeting when this was continued, and they said that they'd be willing to have this continued to work with staff to go through this. And staff has been in contact with the applicant, and they have shown their willingness to comply with these standards that we're recommending.
What about the new standards that we're adding in?
Ms. Jarrett, this is Marcus Lotz, and I just wanted to add for the board, the discussion today, you see the 6 conditions that are a part of the staff report. The other conditions that have been a part of the discussion, we will provide to the council when we send the draft ordinance over. And of course, they'll make a decision on any or all of those conditions. But we feel like we can, when I say we, I mean the Planning Commission, can add items during this discussion for council's consideration.
Understood. I'm just a little uncomfortable with the zoning application. Thank you.
Thank you. And by the way, Ms. Jarrett, this has been on the table only twice, not three times. Anybody else? If not, I'll put it to motion for a vote to approve staff's recommendation of approval.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve this with staff's recommendations.
There a second?
Second.
Second.
With also the additions.
Yes, that was the intent of my amendment. I mean, my motion to include those amended items. My second, I should say.
Okay, we're going to take a vote. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
We get what I can get done. And if I have more to work on,
please mute your microphone, please. Tom Woodwardy?
Yes.
Linda Southers?
Yes.
Joseph Irvin?
Yes.
Karen Jarrett?
No.
Travis Coles?
Yes.
Eula Parker?
Yes.
Wayne Noah? Mike Kegler?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we go into regular business, item 14. General Development Plan 928 Staley Avenue 17 Lot Subdivision. Mr. Lotson, take it away.
Thank you, sir. This item brought to the body today by Live Oak Development South LLC. The petitioner is requesting approval of a general development plan for a 17 lot major subdivision. The property is on the north side of Staley Avenue, approximately 440 feet east of Coleman Street. And the property is within an RSF 6 zoning classification. Within that zoning district, a minimum lot size of 6,000 square feet is required. The purpose is to divide the highlighted tract here in the purple outline. It's 5.5 acres to divide that tract of land to create 17 single family residential lots. I should mention that a notice was sent to all property owners located within 300 feet of the property. We did receive two phone calls regarding this petition from neighboring property owners requesting information about what was being proposed. I would characterize those as not necessarily supporting or opposing, but more for information. As I mentioned, it's a 5.5 acre tract. It's currently undeveloped with sparse vegetation. As I go into the site plan subdivision that the petition is proposing, just want to point out a few features here, some we discussed during the pre-meeting. Property is accessed from a single curb cut along Staley Avenue here. They do provide the required 60-foot right-of-way and the necessary radius for the cul-de-sac for the turnaround for these 17 lots. As you can see, east of the subject property, in this case, really, I guess, north, the petitioner is leaving a portion of the property undeveloped as a conservation area and common space for the residents of the proposed neighborhood. All the residential lots will have frontage and be accessed from this yet to be named street with the cul-de-sac. Lots 1 and 17 here will also have frontage along Staley Avenue. The minimum right-of-way width, as I mentioned, is being met. The proposed common area here will be designated as conservation. Access is shown from a 5-foot pedestrian walkway located here. And one of the conditions that we've placed on on this is that the petitioner also provide a vehicular access point for the purposes of maintenance. The stormwater generated by the proposed development will be detained in an on-site detention pond. A 15-foot drainage easement extends from the proposed street right-of-way turnaround through lots 12 and 13 to the proposed detention area. That outfall will be to an adjacent drainage canal. Sidewalks are required along all lots, as well as Staley Avenue, which are provided here. We believe that this development plan does meet all the requirements as indicated through the zoning ordinance. This is an aerial map that shows the property as it is today, wooded but mostly vacant. The adjacent property located here is a residential property, single family residence. Property west of the subject property is a small church. There was a concern, or I wouldn't say concern necessarily, but an issue brought up during the meeting about what was adjacent to this property. And as you can see, we've got this single family lot, and then there are two single family lots adjacent to this property. Beyond those lots is an existing auto salvage yard that's been located at that property for a number of years. But as you can see, based on the 60-foot lot width for each of the two lots that are here, this property is a little over 120 feet in width before you get to the property line of the proposed development. Staff believes that this development meets the requirements of the zoning ordinance, the subdivision regulations. We're recommending approval with the conditions outlined in the staff report.
Okay. Is there any, is the petitioner here on this item?
Jay Maupin.
Yes, we're here.
Say anything, sir? You have 10 to 20 minutes.
Mr. Chair, this is Jay Maupin with Maupin Engineering, the applicant.
Okay. Please state your name, sir, before you speak. Thank you.
Yes, I'm Jay Maupin. We also have Jerome Davis, the developer here, and Alexine Doof. One of my design engineers. And I'm happy to answer. We're in agreement with the staff recommendations, and we're happy to answer any questions that you might have.
So any question by the board to ask this gentleman?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
I think this is an excellent plan with a lot of good features, especially the connection to the Tatumville Park. My recollection is that the northern end of the tract, though, is any of that in the floodplain or wetlands?
Mr. Brown, this is Jay Maupin again.
Yes.
You can see that we stopped the cul-de-sac short and didn't really develop the northern portion of this lot.
Okay.
And that specifically because that hatched area is noted as wetland. Is wetland, and also there's the drainage canal that runs down through there. The developed portion of the property will not be in the floodplain.
Okay, so this may not be a question for you, but we talked about it briefly in the pre-meeting. So as I'm looking at the property cards here, the property immediately to the east, I think it has two different owners, I think. And then I'm concerned though, one of them, they're so narrow that it says that they're really, it's 140 feet. So maybe somebody could come in there and do residential development. And I guess this is not for today, but except to express concern to the staff that if you were to allow residential development, one of which is owned by another party, and then the other one's owned by the same outfit that owns the auto salvage company, to put in a small lot subdivision in that 140 feet would be difficult. It'd be on top of a drainage ditch, and it would eliminate the buffer between this development, which I think is a good development, and it would put that subdivision immediately up against the junkyard. So does staff want to say anything about that possibility?
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown. I think the important thing to note regarding that potentiality is that both of those properties are currently zoned single-family residential. So outside of a zoning action to increase the amount of buildable land, there would have to be a rezoning in order to do something other than single-family residential at this location. I did, in fact, have a conversation in recent weeks with the owner of the auto salvage yard, who is contemplating, you know, what he could or couldn't do with his property. So right now, outside of single-family residential, there isn't anything really that could go there. If those properties were put together somehow and combined, there's potentially enough room there to do something non-residential. But under the current zoning, it would be limited to single family. And I think that's a good thing at this point, because the city will then be able to manage through its decision making regarding zoning what the future of those properties would be.
Well, I appreciate that response. And Mr. Chairman, I'm just saying through staff, I would encourage them to get with the city, because we're looking at the status of and enhancing Tatumville Park. And I don't think even for residential development, that would be a good land use. So I would ask you to get with Heath Lloyd, and maybe you could figure out some future plan for those two, because I'm afraid you'll end up harming the site plan and the development that's in front of us. So will you be able to do that, to meet with city staff on that separate issue?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
Thank you.
Mr. Brown, if I may interject as well, this is Jay Maupin. Immediately to the east of this property that we're developing on one of those lots you're speaking of, there is the drainage canal that you mentioned. There's also a 48-inch storm drain pipe that takes up a good portion of the lot that drains off of Staley Avenue. And there also is a 24-inch force main that runs down through that lot. So I don't think you're going to, any development on that lot's going to be impractical, really.
Well, thank you. And I guess I would just suggest, let's go ahead and plan that while we're doing this, but I'm not in any way attempting to, you know, hold up or affect what you're proposed. I'm certainly fine with it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir. Any other commissioners have questions?
This is Linda Southers. This is a question for staff. Mr. Lotson, have you checked the turning radius of the cul-de-sac? Is it large enough to accommodate all of the City of Savannah emergency vehicles?
Ms. Southers, it does meet the minimum radius for turnaround for the per the City of Savannah's details. I should also mention that should this be approved, then a formal subdivision will be submitted to the City of Savannah, and one of the reviewing bodies will be the Traffic Engineering Department, who will work with Mr. Maupin to ensure they have adequate access.
I understand that and know that, but we're at a general development plan and it's before us. And if that radius or that cul-de-sac has to be enlarged, they could potentially lose lots. So that was the purpose for my question.
Yes, ma'am. And as submitted, we believe it meets the city standard.
Thank you.
Anybody else? I will open it up for anybody who wishes to speak.
And if there is anyone on the line, on the meeting, please use the raise your hand feature if you'd like to comment, members of the public.
Do we have anybody?
Yes.
There's nobody from the public.
Wait.
Hold on.
Oh.
Dr. Shabazz from City Council, are you there? Would you like to speak?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you all so much for letting me into the meeting. I have been talking with over 1,500 residents through its neighborhood association president, Mrs. Mabel Hudson, in reference to this subdivision plan here that is definitely going to impact Steely Avenue and the residents, the flow of life in Tatumville with this the subdivision. Mrs. Hudson, I don't know if she should be owned by telephone, and she has several comments that she wants to make. But I want to say I'm glad to see that the city manager has made some great comments in reference to this plan. I agree with the city manager on his comments. And I also would like to state that due to the fact that Staley Avenue is such a narrow street, we've been having problems with people coming in off of the streets onto Staley Avenue. So many accidents that has taken place from Dillon. That particular where the new subdivision is proposed is the street to the south of it, and maybe I don't know, maybe about 10 or 15 feet to the east is Dillon Street, which Haven Elementary School is located. Even though school traffic is not as heavy as normal, I do believe that this COVID is going to pass in this country and in our community, and things are going to get back to normal. And we're going to have heavy traffic in that particular area. So with all of that being said, that's just one example to the concerns from the community, is that the problem, there is no the entrance way. There is a direct entrance where you just turning right off of Staley into this unnamed street, into the subdivision. There needs to be some type of lane approach going in there. There also needs to be some type of improvement made in that intersection with some flashing lights. Some crosswalks. It just needs to be some type of improvement. Since this is a new subdivision, something like this has not happened in 60, 75 years, 100 years since Staley Avenue has been around. But since we're at the table with this, we need to look at this a little bit deeper when it comes to this traffic situation, because that is a problem. With my concern, I've been out there last night, yesterday, just looking at, you know, how things were flowing, and just knowing the area, I know that it's going to be a serious problem on two of the streets. It's Medding and it's Coleman Street. There were so many accidents. We requested some years ago for those mirrors, those traffic mirrors, so that those who are in that intersection on those streets can see the oncoming traffic to see whether or not they can come out onto Staley Avenue. This is a problem, everybody. And it's going to seriously impact. We're talking about 17 lots here. And you know, you multiply that by two and maybe three or four folks coming from each residence, you have a substantial amount of people going in and out of this subdivision. So that's one of the major concerns of mine and the residents of Tatumville. One of the questions that they did have was already asked by the board, one of the board members, in reference to the emergency vehicles. And I do agree with our city manager for the city of Savannah that we need to look a little bit further into that. So I'm going to stop right now with my comments, but if you all could make a way in getting Mrs. Mabel Hudson, who is the president of the Tatumville Neighborhood Association, connected to this, because she has several comments that she wants to make. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Shabazz, is she there to make a comment?
She should be connected by the telephone.
We're not showing her on record.
This is Karen Jarrett. I've heard some comments before about Staley. I went to a public meeting of the Tatumville folks and some other people when we were doing Newso, and I know that Staley is certainly a concern. Is there any movement by the traffic engineering folks to do a study of Staley? I know that part of the subdivision process will be to look at that intersection and propose safety measures if they are needed as part of the approval process. But as far as Staley goes itself, has anyone done any studies on it that y'all are aware of?
Ms. Jarrett, I know that here at the NPC, we haven't done any studies related to transportation along Staley Avenue that I can recall. I'd leave it to city staff to respond on anything they may have done.
Ms. Chairman, I would not yes. want to, I think that the as this is just the present action would still allow for a traffic engineering analysis. I mean, this is about a 15 lot subdivision. So traffic engineering should take a look at the intersection of Staley and this unnamed street to make sure that there are not site distance or other safety problems there. And at the same time, they can review any of the problems on Staley Avenue. And I would ask that you convey that to staff so that can be conducted as a part of this coming forward to the mayor and aldermen.
Yes, sir. Is there anybody else? Is there anybody else in the public for comment?
Ms. Malloy is on the line.
There's a Mrs. Malloy. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am. Please state your name for the record.
Certainly. This is Chastity Malloy.
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
This is really just a point of clarification. This is a 17-unit development with two properties facing and with access points to Staley Avenue. Is that correct?
It's correct that there's 17 lots proposed. But lots, I think you're referring to lots 1 and 17. There are access correct. From the unnamed street, not from Staley Avenue.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted clarification on that.
Anybody else? Any further discussion with commissioners? Hold on, Mr. Lawson.
Well, I just wanted to make the point, Mr. Chair, that regarding the proposed 17 lots, that if this item is approved, that would be the maximum number of lots. If through whatever design challenges the applicant has, they have to lose lots, then, you know, they have to. But this is what's brought before you today as a maximum.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Any other discussion?
Yeah, this is Eula Parker. Just a quick question, just about the buffer on the other side of the property where the church is. Is there any type of buffer between the property and that land, or does it back directly up to it?
Upon development, there would be a buffer required between the church and the proposed lots. Looks like 1 through 4, I think, are all abut the church's property.
Okay.
Anybody else?
Mr. Chairman, this is Michael Brown again. What you could do, and I think the city could work with you, Mr. Maupin seemed to say that this it is wetlands and we don't want that harm, but if there are traffic problem at the front, it's possible that I don't know that we'd want to encroach on the park, but maybe we could make a bit of a planning trade-off between the safety for vehicles on Staley and that other area on the north. And just to make a note of that.
I'll ask the petitioner if he'd like to make another comment.
I think we're good. Jerome, do you want to say anything?
I don't. Excited for the opportunity and just love to work with the community on bringing this up, subdivision Staley Avenue.
Okay, thank you. I'll now ask somebody to make a motion.
This is Cole.
Make a motion to pass staff's recommendations.
Second.
Was that you, Mr. Brown?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Point of clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
Joe Irvin, are we?
Yes, sir.
Is the motion subject to what the city manager made a comment about having a traffic study?
Well, yes, it was, except I don't want to use the traffic study with the capital and TNS. It would be that those traffic issues, such as the size of the radius of the cul-de-sac and the site distance and not causing traffic harm to Staley, that should be reviewed. I don't think we want to trigger a full traffic study, but to make sure that we're not presenting any additional traffic problems and that would be handled during the normal subdivision review process. That would be the intent of my motion, or second to the motion.
I'm going to ask Mr. Joyner to restate his motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I make the motion to pass what the staff recommended, that is without additional traffic studies.
And Mr. Brown, you second that?
Well, I'll second that, but I would use not additional traffic studies, but traffic review as a part of the subdivision process.
Right, and it wasn't contingent on that.
Yes.
Okay. Got that. Okay, we'll go to a vote. Mr. Chairman,
can you restate the motion? I'm not 100% clear. I understand exactly what it is.
I make the motion that we pass this item with staff's recommendation. It's not contingent on the traffic study, but more toward the recommendation. It's not based on there having to be a traffic study done. Is that clear enough?
Unfortunately, this is Linda Southers. Unfortunately, it sounds as if there would be no traffic study. And of course, right, we need some limited study as part of this subdivision.
I think the proper motion is motion to accept staff's approval subject to traffic review. Is correct. That correct, Mr. Brown?
Yes, sir. In other words, that just for the new members or whatever, when you say the actual word traffic study, then you're triggering a pretty detailed and formal traffic review, which I don't really see as necessary. So if the maker of the motion would agree, this is not a full traffic study, but it is a traffic safety review as a part of the subdivision process. That would be my second to the maker's motion.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We'll take it to a vote. Mr. Wildwoody?
I approve.
Ms. Southers?
Aye.
Mr. Irvin?
Yes.
Ms. Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Coles?
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
Ms. Kegler?
Yes.
Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Yes. Motion passes. Next, item 15, amended plan development, East Broad Market PD, adding a micro distillery. Mr. Lotson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This item is a proposed amendment to an existing plan development known as the East Broad Market Lofts. The subject property includes the highlighted property located here at the southwest corner of East Broad Street and East 39th Street. This property had been a vacant commercial building for a number of years, and the current operator, and you see the building as it existed in this photograph, the current operator has renovated the building, and it is what you see here in this photograph, and it's Hop Atomica, which is a small restaurant and brewery. As one of the permitted uses for the planned development, it's microbrewery, which was added to the list of approved uses for this location in 2019 by the mayor and alderman. The petitioner is now requesting to add micro distillery to the list of uses as well. That use is a separate use within both state law and the zoning ordinance with specific conditions. The existing microbrewery is limited to a production of less than 3,000 barrels, which is 93,000 gallons of craft beer per year. The proposed micro distillery, based on the state law, would be limited to a production of less than 10,000 gallons of spirits per year. In terms of the changes to the language, it's shown here. This under number two are the permitted uses for this plan development, which include multifamily residential, artist studios, galleries, convenience retail, and of course microbreweries. The underlying portion is what's proposed to be added to the current text. So all the other current text exists now. The proposal is to add a micro distillery limited to a production of less than 10,000 gallons of spirits per year. That would permit the applicant to seek a license from the city of Savannah, as well as the state of Georgia, to operate that business. My understanding from the applicant, who I believe is on the call today, is that they've received federal licensing that's required, which would allow them to seek state licensing. That licensing would allow them to seek local license from the city of Savannah. But the underlying portion is what they're proposing to be added. We believe that the development has been a benefit to this neighborhood, which is redeveloped very nicely, and we're recommending approval.
Thank you. Is the petitioner on the line?
Harry Smith.
We're checking to see if the petitioner is online.
The petitioner is Harry Smith, so we'll see if Mr. Smith is online. We may have lost him. He was on.
We may have lost him. Do we need to try to get him back online, or we can move forward? Are there any questions by the board? No question from commissioners? Is there anybody out there in the audience for public comment?
If there are any members of the public that would like to comment, please use the raise your hand feature.
Nobody seems to be there. Ms. Malloy, are you there? Mrs. Malloy? Ms. Malloy, please unmute yourself so that we can hear you.
I'm pardoned. Can you hear me now?
I certainly can. Welcome.
Excellent. Thank you so much. If memory serves me correct, there is a... Can you hear me?
Yes. Please state your name for the record.
Apologies. Chastity Malloy.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If memory serves me correct, there's also a church in very close proximity to the Hopatomia site that's located on the corner of East 38th Street and East Broad. Does this pass the parameters of not having a distillery that distills spirits, not just beer? Is this far enough to allow for this additional use for this property is what I'm saying?
Ms. Malloy, I'm not aware of the church you're describing, but the distance requirement, as I understand it, and this is really for someone in the city's revenue department who handles this, but I believe that's for packaged alcohol sales, not for on-site consumption. But that would certainly be a part of the review that would take place related to any alcohol license that this applicant would have to seek from the city of Savannah.
Okay, thank you. It was Victory Bible Fellowship Church, but now that I've got my map pulled up, that's closer to East Broad and Siler Avenue.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the public? Just for clarification, if I might, this is Melanie Hanson, Executive Director. Generally, the micro distilleries. Generally, the micro distilleries are set up so that you can sell spirits. So generally, there is a bottle or some sort that someone fills in sells. However, that is something that the city's revenue as well as their licensing entity would have to look at. I just wanted to be real clear about that.
Thank you.
Anybody else wish to speak on this matter? Did the petition ever come back on? Nope. Any further discussion from commissioners? If not, I'll take a motion.
This is Coles. I make the motion that we approve the staff's recommendation for approval.
Jarrett, second.
Thank you. We'll go to a vote. Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Mr. Joyner?
Aye.
Mr. Woodwoody?
Yes.
Ms. Southers?
Yes.
Mr. Urban?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Karen Jarrett?
Yes.
Mr. Coles? Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Parker?
Yes.
And Mr. Kegler?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next, we go to presentations, which will soon finalize our meeting today. Discussion regarding potential ordinances updates.
Just a quick statement regarding that this item, Mr. Chairman, just for the board. These items really at this stage are for information and discussion only. We're not asking the board to take any action today, but we're just bringing this to the floor for an initial discussion.
Thank you.
Okay, I briefly shared this in the pre-meeting today. The three potential discussion points regarding potential updates to the zoning ordinance. The first one I want to touch on is the potential addition of two uses, and those are animal services indoor, as well as office medical, to be permitted as a special use in the TN1 and TN2 zoning districts, respectively. We have a whole bunch of recommendations that will be brought forth at the next follow-up meeting that will have text in red that you can actually see what those are. But a lot of the things that we're thinking of is that where, you know, animal services are permitted, animal shelters and kennels shall be prohibited. So we're really kind of defining the animal services indoor to be more like a veterinary office and not so much a kennel or anywhere where surgery is done. We also limit to the operating hours to, from 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. We also call it there's no outdoor pet runs, and boarding is also prohibited with that. But we feel it's in keeping with the neighborhood districts to allow that use, as well as the office medical use to those zoning districts. And the second one I'll go into, and I'll be happy to answer any questions about any of these. The second one is providing limitations on variance applications, appeals applications, and non-conforming uses and structure applications to prohibit the refiling or reapplication of the same requests for 1 year after denial. So currently one of the things with NUZO from the old ordinance to the NUZO through that process, there's no language requiring there to be a prohibition on applications that have received denial. So if someone receives a denial on a variance application, they can submit the next month to request the same item. So in the old ordinance, that was not allowed. And so we're just trying to tighten up the ordinance to prohibit it now in NUZO as well. And the third and final one I'll briefly touch on. I briefly touched on this in the pre-meeting. Right now, downtown residential, office institutional, residential two-family, and traditional residential do not currently exist as future land use categories. City staff and MPC staff are examining that as a potential change to the future land use map. It also has further implications in the comprehensive plan, as well as the current comprehensive plan update that we're doing. So it needs some further examination. I don't have any more details to share with you at this time regarding that, but I'll have more details at the February 2nd meeting, as well as more specific text for points 1 and 2. I'm happy to answer any broad questions you may have at this time.
Karen Jarrett here.
Yes, ma'am.
I have a broad question. Can we look at discussion of zoning of county property as it becomes annexed by the city, perhaps even suggesting that all annexations come to the MPC for review prior to annexation to avoid the problems we've run into on more than one occasion where property has come in zoned by the county under one zoning classification that isn't in the city and has created problems for us because we didn't have the same zoning classification. And along with that, a discussion of buffers between adjacent land uses, especially residential versus industrial.
Yes, we can certainly do that.
Mr. Chairman, I have to object to that. This is Michael. There's yes, state statute that directly governs how annexations occur. Those are the prerogative of the county elected officials and the city. There's nothing wrong with the MPC looking at planning issues, but for example, on the landfill, if that's the example, it's not a good example because there were people that weren't even close to that, and yet they objected to the city. So this is a problem that is the solution to which is that there's the county authority, there's the authority of the mayor and alderman, and there's a process by which a piece of property that gets annexed, if there's a conflicting land use, there's actually a mediation process between cities and counties to resolve that, and then the properties come into the city. But I don't, and then zoning occurs after that. So we don't need to have three bodies. And certainly one body that's not elected attempting to tell the county commission and the mayor and alderman what's good or bad. I would object to that.
Karen Jarrett here. I hear your complaint and your objection. We did have a situation with an industrial property that was owned industrially by the county prior to coming into the city, and the city started developing that property, and there was a great deal of uproar with the residents. The buffer was the issue there, not so much the zoning, but the buffer. And I guess I'm trying to see what we can do to mitigate situations where residents have lived in a property for 20 years and all of a sudden they have an industrial complex going up beside them.
Ms. Jarrett, this is Marcus Lotson in the hearing room, and I just wanted to let the board know that really kind of as a result of that issue and some other plans that we've seen come through our agency, Ms. Wilson has discussed with me taking a closer look at the buffer requirements and both the city and county ordinances. And because of the kind of scale of development that we see now that we didn't see, you know, 10 or 15 years ago, I think we are giving that a closer review. And when we're prepared, I think we'll probably be coming to the commission with some recommendations. But there okay. is a concern from our side that buffer requirements in certain circumstances are not adequate to truly buffer the uses that are there.
That's what I was getting at. Thank you.
And I think we can do that just within the context of potential changes to the zoning ordinance, not necessarily getting into the annexation laws, et cetera.
That's fine. Thank you.
Anybody else? Staff? That it?
Yes, sir. I believe so.
With that being said, I want to thank every commission for their attendance. Thank you for keeping me in check. And may y'all have a blessed week. This meeting is adjourned.